Hey there, One Pride Nation. This is Zach.
And Brendan.
And we are
Lions Basement Banter.
So first and foremost, we're going to start off with somewhat of an apology because of the stupid software that we run. We lost 80 minutes worth of podcast last week, and so now we skipped a week.
Yeah. I mean,
excitement. We love technology.
If you're listening and you don't want that to happen again, please consider making a charitable donation so that we can afford a software that won't break down on us.
That is the problem. It was free software. It still is free software, but here we go. Season 1, episode 6, all over again. So let's touch on some of the free agent signings that we have, some moves that happened. And this will include 2 weeks worth now, essentially. Josh Reynolds is the newest one. He went to the Broncos on a 2-year deal worth up to reportedly $14 million. First of all, I'll say I'm somewhat sad to see him go, but I'm happy we didn't pay 2 years $14 million for him, to be completely honest.
No, they said, Mike Payton said on X this week that they, or maybe it was Dave Burkett, I can't remember, one of the two. They said that the Lions organization had made signing Josh Reynolds a priority, but it became clear that they weren't going to get a deal done because he was just asking for too much compared to what they were willing to give.
And I'd also like to put an end to a rumor that's out there. I very much do not think that Josh Reynolds did not come back because he feels like he let the team down and cost them a Super Bowl. That's a stupid thing that's out there. Please do not believe that because it was gaining traction yesterday. So please don't. I don't know who said that. I'm not going to call him out, but just don't buy into that. Anyways, question I have for you. We also, in the last 2 weeks, gave Donovan Peoples-Jones, a 1-year contract to bring him back. Do you think that the wide receiver room is enough with DPJ and not Josh Reynolds right now?
Do I think it's enough in terms of what's there? Yes. Do I think there needs to be depth? Yes. Okay. Which I think is where a rookie comes in. And that doesn't necessarily mean I'm saying the depth is going to be the rookie. I'm saying that possibly, you know, DPJ and Leaf are going to be depth pieces. And Antoine Green, they're all going to be depth pieces. And they're going to bring in, I still think they're going to draft a wide receiver somewhere in their first 3 picks.
I believe that's probably the case at this point. Based on them not getting Josh Reynolds, I think that forces their hand a little bit. And not that it forces their hand because he was probably going to do it anyway, but I think that that solidifies it.
Let's stay on the offensive side before because I see you're going to move to the defense here.
Okay, let's stay on the offensive side.
Let's talk about the biggest signing of the week.
Yep.
Nate Sudfeld, that quarterback.
You know, that was so small to me that I didn't even have it in my notes. So,
Nate Sudfeld is signed. He's probably just, honestly, probably just camp body. He might end up being the emergency third
I think
quarterback.
He will. Mr. Cough Medicine himself.
I think they're going to want to see what Hendon Hooker can do, and they'll keep, hopefully he shines in the preseason and lines up that number 2 spot.
Yep, old Nate Sudafed.
And then we've got the guard.
The guard that we talked about last week, again. But you guys missed, but Kevin Zeitler,
yeah,
he's coming over to Detroit to fill that spot that was left from losing Jonah Jackson. And I think that's an awesome signing. We talked about it last week and I was super excited about it and I still am. I think that was possibly for me, the signing so far of the season for us.
Yeah. Very good. Very good signing. We're not going to touch too much just because we've got 2 weeks of stuff to wrap up.
Yeah, we've got a lot.
moving to the defensive side, we'll start with the biggest news, of course, Cam Sutton. We had that breaking last week. We actually had it come across right before we were recording our podcast that he had been released from the team that was following the release of a warrant from a police department down in Florida where he is a resident. Basically saying that he was wanted for domestic battery involving strangulation, I believe is what it was.
Correct.
And
is still in the wind to this second as far as we know.
We did get a little bit of new news on that. I guess shout out to the New Heights podcast. New news.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Travis Kelce. Anyway, you know, we found out that essentially we thought that he was nowhere to be found. Lions didn't know where he was. Come to find out, Rod Wood, the president of the team, actually said that following the release of the warrant, they actually happened to see Cam Sutton. He was in the building working with the strength trainers, and they walked up to him and basically, you know, recommended that he seek counsel and turn himself in. And he essentially left the building and they didn't hear from him after that.
Yeah. So that was that. I don't know. I don't want to go too far.
No. I want to know.
I don't know what to say.
I want to know what your thoughts are in terms of, cause there's a lot of, you know, stuff circulating that was wrong on the Lions' part to not call authorities and say that he was there.
Okay. All right.
I want to know, you know, do you think that they did what they were supposed to do, or do you think they could have done more, I guess?
So two things to answer that. First of all, there's the question of jurisdiction. And to me, the sheriff's department that was looking for him reached out to them because they know that that's his place of employment, essentially. They're allowed to do that. They couldn't come get him. I don't think, because of jurisdiction. The Lions organization, it's not their job to apprehend him. It's not their job to arrest him. It's not their job to force him to stay there, and they legally couldn't do that anyway. I think they did exactly what they should have done, and honestly, all they could have done to let him know, hey man, this is the right thing to do. Now it's in your hands. And that's all they could do, I think. So
yeah. Well, I'm not gonna lay a verdict down, but it's sounding pretty bad for the guy when he's just like disappeared off the face of the earth. Like usually you wanna say, you know, innocent till proven guilty, but he's making it real hard to make a case for him being innocent.
Yeah, true. And I like I said, I pause because I don't want to say the wrong thing. But I mean, yeah, it's sad because there's a victim out there regardless. And that it's unfortunate. It puts us, in my opinion, it puts us in a rough position. Apparently someone higher than me in the organization doesn't think so. And we'll play that clip right here.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it was a blessing just for the mere fact that, like I said, about the cornerback position, that we were able to land Carlton Davis and Amik Robertson. So I do like the competition that we have. There was a reason why we re-signed Emmanuel Moseley. I know when players are injured the previous year, they're kind of forgotten about when it comes to free agency. So it seems like it's kind of been we got Carlton Davis, got Amik Robertson. Emmanuel Moseley, it's the reason why we re-signed him back. We felt really, really good about it. So we really like the competition that we currently have. So we don't really feel like the Cam Sutton situation really altered the landscape of how we approach the draft.
As you can see, Brad Holmes himself isn't real worried about cornerback. So yeah. We'll see what happens there. But to me, I've gone on record here on previous episodes that I can't stand Cam Sutton as a football player. I just don't think he was great, but I was hopeful that he'd have another one of those like breakout seasons that he had with the Steelers, with the Lions this year. Well, I had high hopes.
I think the problem was obviously our pass rush. Cause if you look at I was looking at some kind of list that was put out last week or something about, you know, the top rated corners in the NFL, and you look at who was on that list, and there's guys that were playing with TJ Watt rushing the passer and Myles Garrett rushing the passer and Micah Parsons rushing the passer. I think the reason that Cam Sutton was burnt toast this year is because all we have is Aiden Hutchinson, and he's good. He's really good. He's not primed himself into that, you know, elite pass rusher yet. that the other guys are. So if we don't have that, it's obviously not going to make any corner look.
And I know what you're saying. I'm just going, for our listeners' sake, I'm just going to point out what you're saying is all we had when our guys got injured, because we do have James Houston, who looks promising. I believe I'm just kind of reiterating what you're saying, but I think
kind of, my problem is we've got Aiden Hutchinson, who's a star in the making, but other teams have at least a star in the making on the other side, maybe a established veteran who's just a force to be reckoned with getting to the quarterback. We don't have that. We have a bunch of guys that are developing and are unproven. Mm-hmm.
And Aiden Hutchinson is still developing. Like you said, he's a star in the making. He's going to get there, but he's still learning some moves. He's still doing what, the bends he needs to do in the NFL and
stuff. He's already increased he's outdone expectations, because everyone always thinks sophomore slump. He actually
got better.
His numbers.
Yeah, he got better.
Year. So I can only imagine what's going to happen in year three.
Look at the pressures he had. I mean, if it's all about sacks or whatever for you, you need to look at the pressures, because that guy was in the face of the quarterback almost every down.
The last thing we need to talk about really in terms of moves was Romeo Okwara retired last week. Not much to say on that. He was a steady, great player. Outdid his expectations as an undrafted free agent. So yep.
I always liked the Okwara brothers. I was a big fan of them. I mean, regardless of, I think they did well for us as rotational guys. Mm-hmm. They were good. So
yep. All right. Let's move on to the main event.
Main event, and we're going to talk about the rule changes that have been passed in the last week here. Honestly, in about the last 2 or 3 days. So. The first one, we're actually going to stay in Detroit for the first two here. Detroit is the ones who threw these out there, and they got passed. The first one would be being awarded a third challenge after winning one out of two of your first challenges. Prior to this, you had to win both challenges in order to get a third. This time, you'll get a third if you win one out of the two.
Yeah, that only makes sense to me. And I was talking to a guy that I work with about this rule this past week, and he said his statement was, when is the NFL just going to make the move that they're ultimately working towards and just go to the MLB's method of you can challenge an unlimited amount of times until you lose one, and then mm-hmm. you can't challenge anymore? And I think that's what we're pushing towards eventually. We're taking baby steps to get there.
The only thing I don't like about that, and I've seen it happen in the MLB, is you get one wrong, and then there's an obvious, obvious one after that, and you're screwed. I've seen that happen.
Well, it's the chance you take. That's why if it's a close call that you don't know if you're going to win, you better not challenge it.
I still am a big fan of, I don't know the logistics. I'm a big fan, and you're the one who actually put this in my mind this last year. I'm a big fan of everything going to New York. You're going to have people on the refs on the field just to make sure that, the play clock runs. You're going to make sure that people break up fights or whatever else. But I like all the calls coming from someone who's watching 10,000 screens instead of watching something real time.
Yeah, and that's not to say, because I know a lot of people are hesitant because they think what we're saying is make everything technology based. So they already know the call. No. Like, what I'm saying is have a real person or a group of real people who know the NFL rule book.
Yeah, like Gene Steratore.
Be in charge of that back in New York. And then when a play happens, you have a certain amount of people assigned to a game, and they're already looking at the monitors, and they know what happened.
Yeah, and to stay with Gene Steratore, because, he's always one of the rules analysts that they go to on these kind of things just to fill the, the airspace, I guess. While we're waiting for a call, I guess, on a replay, he's sitting there and he's like, oh, I think it's going to be this. And 99% of the time he's right on what the call is. And he called it, two, three, sometimes feels like 5 minutes before the refs on the field do. So why couldn't we just do that anyway? But that's not something that changed this year. I'm just throwing that out there. So
yeah, I want to throw this in there just while we're talking about the officiating. Did you happen to hear Rod Wood's comment about the controversial Dallas call, I believe it was?
I did not.
He was interviewing, over the weekend or whatever, and they asked him essentially, you know, about the Dallas call and like, did he call or whatever to like try and see? And he said he did. He called Troy Vincent, who's the executive of officiating in the NFL essentially. And he said he called him and he didn't answer. And it was like 10 a.m. on a Sunday. He called him or whatever. And he said he didn't answer him. And then he called him back and he said, you know, he was at church. And Rod Wood said back to him, did you pray for better officiating?
That sounds like Rod Wood. I love that. Just the dry, like the jabs. That's funny. That's good.
Yeah. We can move to the next rule. I just thought that was a funny quote.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that one. I do like that. All right. So the next one again was thrown out there by Detroit. And I think we ran into this actually was why, but the new rule is that postseason teams can now bring an unlimited number of players back from injured reserve. The rule for regular season will stay at 8 through week 18. So essentially you can bring 8 people back off of injured reserve during the regular season, but you can bring as many as you want or need when you're in the postseason.
That seems, you know, right to me. I feel like you've worked enough to get back there. You should be able to. This is what I'm going to say. I think the NFL should pass that because it benefits them as an entertainment, you know, mogul.
Right. Yeah. You want as
the
many
more
people
star
out there.
Players you can get back to playing in the time where everybody is watching those games, the better.
Yeah. And, you know, you get those teams that get to week 16, 17, and they're on 7 or 8 players, or 6 or 7 players even. They're going to have to pick and choose who they bring back in the playoffs or whatever. And that just kind of, like you're saying, like you want as much involvement from players and people who have a fan base as possible. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense to get people on the field. So moving on to the next one, a passer down by contact or out of bounds prior to a pass is a reviewable play. And here we are again with the Lions, because this happened against Tampa Bay. I believe there was an interception that we had on the first Tampa Bay game. We intercepted a pass from Baker Mayfield, and they showed him as they went to commercial, and his shin was down before he threw the ball, and he was down by contact, and we ended up with a turnover because it was non-reviewable play. So that's been changed too. Here we are again. Detroit Lions are always at the forefront of any kind of controversy with calls, it seems like. So,
well, that's fine. That's a needed thing. I know it benefited us.
I like it.
But, yeah. I mean, that's a needed thing. I can't believe that wasn't already a reviewable
thing. Why would it not be? But, yeah, I mean, you can do it with a runner. You can do it with, you know, any kind of interception or anything like that. So I don't know why you wouldn't do it there. So the next one is this one's tough for me to make sense of. An offense can still be assessed a major foul, such as unnecessary roughness on turnovers, in which the defense also commits a penalty. Previously, the offensive penalty would not be applied. So I think what that means is if there's a holding call and then we intercept the ball and then we have a penalty on our guy, you know, whatever it is, face mask or whatever, both penalties get assessed. It doesn't change because of the turnover or change of possession. So that's silly, but
confusing, but I mean, I guess I don't have a problem with it.
Right. Yeah. Whatever. That was one of those ones where I'm like, okay, I don't care. Now we get in, we got one more and then we get into the big ones for me, at least, 2 games on Christmas. That's really not a rule, but it's something during the voting process it was voted on, and they will have 2 games on Christmas Day. The trade deadline has been moved to after week 9. And I think the Steelers are the ones who asked for that. The Lions actually asked for week 10, but they did move it to week 9. So that just gives a little
bit
of extra.
Another one that I didn't see across my feed. So, I mean, I guess, yeah. I don't know how much difference a week is going to make. I guess if teams get even more desperate than they were a week before that, then they might make a move.
Yeah, I think it gets you into the halftime of the season, you know? So yeah. It gets you, but all right. Kickoffs have
probably
changed.
The most major one that I've seen.
There's one more major one, but yeah. Kickoffs have changed.
Oh, I do know which one you're talking about. Yeah. The
controversy.
Yeah. The kickoff. They're moving to, is it
XFL?
This, yeah. The, well, I think it's the XFL. UFL now.
Okay, yeah. Okay, whatever. Previously,
the combination league of the XFL and the USFL. Yeah, so essentially what we've got is you've got the kicker back where he normally was at the 35. But then the rest of the kickoff unit actually moves up to the, what is it, the opposing team's
35, like 35 or 40? One of the two.
Regardless, they're way upfield, and they've essentially, you've got like a 5-10 yard gap between the kick team and the receiving team, the blockers at least. And then the receiving team gets two return men that they can put back into the return zone, which is the 20 back to the back of the end zone.
Yep, you have to have a minimum 9 people on that line.
Yeah. So you can put two back there, and the rule is the kicking team kicks the ball. And nobody on that in those blocking lanes right there can move until the ball lands in the either lands in the return zone,
yep,
or is touched by a returner, mm-hmm, whichever comes first.
So
essentially, I'll let you go here in a second, but essentially, I think what they're trying to do here is eliminate the full speed collisions. But this is also a move by the NFL to try and get more explosive plays, because we've seen in the XFL in the past that this has led to a lot of explosive returns.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was getting ready to say, actually, is they asked Dan Campbell about this, and he said, as far as the return team goes, he's pretty excited about it. And I think he's genuine on that with who we've got as options for return men.
Well, so, could you imagine... I don't know if they're going to put big J-Mo pieces back there, but J-Mo and DPJ back there. Or
give me J-Mo and Gibbs. Think about that.
They're not going to put... There's no way they're putting Gibbs back there.
Well, I know, but you're saying we're doing like a...
Yeah, I know.
Whatever,
imagine they put Dan Skipper back there.
Then it's over. Dan Skipper and Penei Sewell.
I'm reporting. Anyway,
eligible to knock you right over.
I think it's an interesting model. What I think it was really interesting was, or what I think is interesting is, I'm sure players like Devin Hester are glad they played when they did, because I feel like this devalues, kickoff returners.
That's a good point.
I think it's going to be said that we're going to see an increase of bigger returns, and people are going to say, well, that's because they changed the rules. These guys aren't as good as the guys that came before them,
mm-hmm,
because
that's
they don't have to play the same.
You'll
worry
see
about those big hits.
You'll see the statisticians that just see the stats and the yards and the touchdowns, and they'll think, oh, Devin Hester, what the heck was he doing?
Yeah. So good for him getting into the hall when he did.
Thank goodness.
Well deserved.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Injured players. This is a new one. This is big to me. Injured players not traveling with the team need to be ruled out prior to the team's departure. I don't remember for sure what kind of brought this on, but I do feel like I remember something with, it was either the Bengals or the Bills, one of the two. I can't remember if it was Josh Allen, but essentially someone didn't, it was like they didn't know if he was playing until 1 o'clock or whatever, just before they started, and he wasn't even there with the team. Wasn't even there. So
I have a split I have a split decision on that, because I feel like, well, you're required to report injuries, which is correct. And, you know, so what that does is, as long as you're reporting true injuries, which is a requirement,
it allows me to change my guys on fantasy.
Well, no, shut up. It allows the other team.
That's all I care about.
The other team now has an extra wrench to prepare for, where they have to either prepare for the quarterback being there or not being there. And sometimes both they have to prepare for, and different skill sets of what they're going to face at each position.
Yeah, and the only thing I can see is that puts a disadvantage to the home team, because the home team, you know, or
the one.
Yeah, because the home team doesn't have to say anything, or gives an advantage to the home team.
Yeah.
Sorry. The home team doesn't have to say anything until 1 or noon or whatever it is, and this other team has to say it on Thursday or whatever.
Yeah. So, well, I think it's a clear advantage, because not only that, but, it, you know, when they're traveling, they're those guys that have the home field advantage, if the injured player is on the visiting team, mm-hmm, they already know they're not playing, so they don't have to game plan for them, and they're having practices while the other team is flying.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point, too. You made a couple good points. Good for you. Happy day.
So the next one we'll talk about is the emergency third quarterback.
Yep.
Can be activated from the practice squad an unlimited amount of times and not take up a spot on that 53-man roster. You no longer have to save a spot for him in order to move him up from the practice squad. It's just essentially a free, like, 54th roster spot.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, like you're saying, it's 54 as long as it's a quarterback, essentially.
Yeah, as long as it's that designated emergency quarterback. They do have to designate somebody.
Yes, it has to be a bona fide, that's the wording that they have, bona fide designated quarterback. It can't be like, we're putting Gibbs there as quarterback three and bringing him along or something crazy like that. But
unless he really is your quarterback three, because, I mean, Christian McCaffrey was the quarterback, and that's what brought all these rules on back in the NFC Championship game when the Niners lost because they didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah, that was something. Yeah, that's true. Okay, next one. There's not really much to say about that one. The next one is that two players can be designated to return prior to the final 53-man roster cuts, which means I think that we did that with a Quora this year. I think it was a Quora.
So when they make their roster cuts and they have to like waive people?
Yes.
Is that essentially saving two people from going through that waiver process?
Yes, you can bring them back prior to. Yes. Where we had to
nobody can go after
them. Right. Essentially, we had to, I think it was one of the Okora boys, we had to get into that 53-man cut, and then we brought him back. This time, you'll have two players with that option that you can designate for return prior to making those final cuts. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. I think it's a good number, and I think it's helpful for teams for sure. It's helpful for players, honestly. That should be an NFLPA type thing because that's helpful to keep players where they are.
Speaking of the NFLPA, let's move on to the next one, which was...
You guys ready for some controversy?
Unanimously opposed by the NFLPA Players Association, if you guys don't know.
As well as the NFL fans, period.
Yeah. I wouldn't say period. I've seen a lot of...
Present company included.
I've seen a lot of guys that are like, ooh... It's, I think it's safer stupid. For players.
All right, go ahead and say what it is.
We have now banned the hip drop tackle, defined as essentially...
Tackling a guy, period.
wrapping up a guy and then lifting and pulling down with your body weight and trapping the legs or ankles underneath.
That is literally a tackle. Yeah. That is literally a tackle.
The thing about this is I understand that you're trying to get... bring safety measures, which is fine, but this is one where you cannot objectively make a call. It's so subjective. The refs are not going to be consistent on it. It's going to lead to more controversy.
Yeah,
because it's going to be another what is defined as a catch type thing.
Yeah, here we go, Kelvin Johnson rule all over again. But anyway, what we're going to see is. And I don't know that you said this. It's a 15-yard penalty every time the refs see it. So it's a 15-yard penalty if the ref decides that your tackle is not right. Now, with dear NFL, signed Zach Samuels, if you guys are trying to get rid of this whole, like, you know, moniker of this is a scripted thing, this is all based on betting, blah, blah, blah. How are you going to pass a rule like this and not say that this looks really bad in that situation? This looks super bad. There are going to be so many calls that change games, and it's going to be up to the refs to decide these games now.
I'm more sick of the catering to the offense. Like, why are we already have such explosive offensives. We don't need to give them more. What's going to end up happening now is, because this is, I think this is what, it's either Rappaport or Shefty said that there, or maybe it was Pelissero, one of those three guys essentially said, expect not a lot of penalties to be called in the game, but a lot of fines to be handed out after the game. And that's just like discouraging. Players aren't going to tackle anymore because you're losing money if you make a mistake and, you know, I accidentally used my body weight just a little bit and the ref called it. That's ridiculous to me. And you're taking away guys' hard-earned contract money. It's awful.
It is awful because you think about it, like, I've always, outside of, like, a crazy unnecessary roughness, like, I'm talking, like, you know, you take somebody's helmet off and beat them over the head with their own helmet.
We did that.
I'll let you have your day on that one. But anyway, unless it's something like that, I don't see why you should be taking money. These guys are in the locker room. They're in the weight room. They're practicing. They're doing all this stuff during the week. Like, you're taking money away for one play, but these guys have earned their money outside of that one play. That is so ridiculous. I hate that style. I hate that.
I've seen it all over X right now. The defensive backs are not happy, especially. Like,
no, heck no. You can't play football anymore.
Justin Simmons was outraged. I saw Darius Slay, I think. I think Richard Sherman posted it, and he said, expect to see a lot more players making business decisions on defense, which essentially means
let them
guys
go.
Are just going to let them blow past.
Let them go. Yep. You're going to have to be better in coverage, or you're just going to let them go. I mean, really. All right. So that is our main event. That wraps up what I know as far as changes to rules. Do you have any that I might have missed, or?
No, I think that's it. Okay. Those are the big ones we touched on. If there's anything else, it's minor.
Or it's, you know, or it's happening and we haven't seen it yet. But yeah, that's that'll wrap that up. So now what we want to do is we want to start our very first banter mailbag. And what we did is we reached out on X and we had some of you guys come back with some questions on, you know, some of it's like personal as co-hosts on what you want, what you get to know us type thing. And some of it is our feelings or our opinions on certain things around the NFL or with the Lions. So let's go ahead and we'll give shout outs as we go and answer these questions too. So I'll start with the first one here. At @germ_FC, that's JRM, asked, he would be curious to hear if we would rather have had Snead over Reader and Davis, assuming the combined contracts will about equal Snead's. So essentially, if Davis and Reader both equal what Snead's contract was for the Titans, would we have rather had Snead instead of those two?
That's a hard one. Snead, I really like Snead, but I think we got a much better deal on what we got with Amik and Carlton. I think Carlton Davis is going to be, you know, that number one corner we needed. And he's going to be lengthy, and that's going to allow us to, you know, kind of hopefully take away one side of the field and then let a rookie develop on the other side, or put Amik out there if we need to at times. And
throw BB in there a little bit. Sounds like that's going to happen.
Amik Robertson is so versatile. He plays the slot too, but he can work on the outside.
I don't know, man. I just don't see him as a CB2. Maybe I just don't.
No, I don't know about. I don't know. We'll see. But
I don't know that you trust him enough.
I like him because he's everything that CJ GJ was in terms of confidence without the trash
stupidity.
Talk as much.
You can say stupidity. That's
yeah.
Fine.
So he's all over Twitter and he's just like talking about how like grateful he is and how ready he is to be in Detroit.
Let's just touch on that real quick, and we'll get back to the mailbag. But Amik, I think what you're getting at is like there was talks that Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes thought they missed out on him. Like they thought he was going to go elsewhere. And Amik essentially, this is reportedly, I haven't seen this, but reportedly reached out to one of the two and said, you know, once they had already kind of given up on him, just thinking they lost him, said, are we getting this done? Like, wanted to be in Detroit.
I think that's a confirmed report. They had traded for Carlton Davis, but before that, they were talking to Amik, and then the trade came through, and I think Robertson kind of thought, you know, do you still need me? Is that basically nixing what we had talked about? But he came back and said, you know, can we get this done? So he wanted to be there.
That's exciting, honestly. I mean, that is an all grit, one pride player right there. So, you know, I'm not trying to bad talk his play by saying he's not a cornerback too, because he could end up being tied for cornerback one with Davis. Honestly, he could be that good, but I'm excited that he's got that attitude. Cause like you said, he's got that Gardner Johnson attitude without the idiocy that came with it.
Yeah. So to answer that question, I think I would have taken Snead for sure, but I don't have a problem with what we got. Okay. I think getting two players for the cost of what Snead would cost us is more beneficial. And, you know, we did give up a third round pick, but we got two picks back.
Yeah, my answer to that is I would take Reeder and Davis over Snead 100 times out of 100. We needed help on the on the defensive line. We got it. We needed someone who was a possibility to play cornerback one. And when we got him with Cam Sutton in mind too. So based on those situations and based on real world happenings, I would have chosen what we got 100 times out of 100. So I'm happy with that.
Okay. We'll move on then. So moving on to at Michael Lucci's. Is it Lucci's?
I believe so. Yeah,
I'll say Lucci's.
From Roar Roundup.
Yeah, he runs Roar Roundup, though. He asked a few questions. First up, we've got your favorite bad player from a past Lions game. And the reason this makes me laugh is I have one.
I love this question,
one
man.
Name in the back of my mind that I heard 30 times a broadcast back in the day, and that is Jeff Backus.
I knew you were going there. Oh, man, dude. If it would have been like, all right, Zach, you have to choose what Brendan's going to say for this one. You're going to get $1 million if you pick it. I would have been a millionaire right now.
I don't know. I knew you were going there. I'm so glad that I didn't have anger management problems, because the wall would have been covered in holes back when Jeff Backus was on the Detroit Lions. I can't even say he's my favorite.
Every time there was a flag on the field,
man.
We knew.
That man held more. He held more than he blocked. I don't even know.
Yeah, I do remember. Oh, man. I remember just like sitting there red faced, just seeing a flag on the field. And it's like, okay, Jeff Backus is out there. So we know what that's going to be. the look on your face. I mean, we got to get a video going.
And I don't think this is a bad player. I think he made a lot of 50-50 bad plays. But Lewis Delmas. He wasn't bad, but when he was good, he was good. When he was bad, he looked like an idiot. Spear tackling.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I wasn't sure which way this question was meant. If it's like literally picking a horrid player and just saying like most memorable, or if it's like one that you liked that was just a piece of trash. So I would say like the one that drove me most nuts, besides Jeff Backus, that's a good one, but I won't. For the sake of being different, I won't pick that one. Scott Mitchell. Good God, man. Scott Mitchell. I loathe Scott Mitchell as a player. And I know that he scours the Lions everything to find his name and then complains about it and points the finger. So shout out to Scott Mitchell. Hey, bud, how's it doing? You are a terrible quarterback. But I think that's really all I got, and I would choose Delmas, to be honest, as far as like one that I liked, but that when he was bad, he looked really bad. So, but I did really like Lewis Delmas as a player overall. So, good question, Mike, dude. That was a good one.
He's got more too. So, the next one is, what do you wear on game days and why? And
don't get weird, man.
What do I wear on game days? What are you talking about?
I'm just kidding.
So right. I start out with purple thong.
Yeah, see, there you go. Don't get weird. Oh, thank you, Brendan. I thought you were going to get weird there. Thank you for that. Okay, so I actually have in my notes so that you could see it ahead of time that I'm going to call you out for the bad luck jersey that you wore this year, and that was a number 32, and it wasn't Brian Branch.
Well, you can call me all you want, because, I mean, yeah, some regular season games that had bad luck. I wore that jersey during the Rams playoff game, and guess what happened?
I was scared crapless when I saw you come up with that jersey on.
No, I always go with some combination of a jersey, and you know, that's basically it. It's got to be a jersey. I have a Hutch and I have a DeAndre Swift that I'll keep just because I bought it, and I don't really want to sell it, so I'll just keep that one. But I will see
Brendan wearing it. It's a Swift loss.
We did find out that we are getting new jerseys on April 18th. That is the release date, a week before the draft.
Yeah, so I have an idea for you, Brendan.
And I will be getting a jersey when those drop.
Yeah, same day. I have an idea for you. We're going to have video around that time. I say we go live on the jersey reveal and give our opinions of what we see. What do you think?
Live on the jersey reveal?
Yeah.
Can I wear my thong?
All right, so we will not be going live on the jersey reveal. All right. So for me, same thing. I usually wear a jersey. I'm a hoodie kind of guy, so I'm usually wearing a hoodie too. I'm a hat dude too, so I got Lions hat. And it's always my Michigan sweats because I like winners. So
yeah, I usually go with a jersey along with my Benito Jones overalls.
Then don't wear the jersey. You don't need the jersey with those overalls, man.
Just a jersey. I wear a jersey. That's all I really wear. I don't really get too crazy.
Right now, mine's David Montgomery. I wore him pretty much all the way through the season.
Yeah, I pretty much just wear Hutch all the time.
Okay.
Next year, I'm thinking that jersey that I'm going to get when those drop is probably going to be a Laporta, but I'm not sure. I think the numbers are just so close on Laporta and Hutchinson. I don't want it to look the same.
I saw a t-shirt. I saw two t-shirts actually at Meijer, good old Meijer Thrifty Acres. I saw two t-shirts and one was Hutch and one was Laporta, and they were right next to each other. And I could not hardly tell the difference. You have to actually read the name. They look so close. But I think my first jersey purchase, this might shock you, is going to be Jared Goff.
Yeah, I love Jared Goff. I won't buy a Jared Goff jersey.
Why?
He's not the kind of, I love Jared Goff as a quarterback and for a player for this team. He's not the kind of player that excites me and makes me want to buy his jersey, though.
Okay.
I think if I had to get one ranked right now, it's Laporta, Sewell number two, and number three, I'd go Curb.
Not Gibbs. Gibbs isn't in there.
Gibbs is in there, but I've been burned by the running back before. I'm not doing it again.
Amon-Ra's not in there. Let's get that extension and then maybe.
No, I know he's getting extended. I just don't. I don't know. I like the drippy players, and he is in there, and I might get one down the road. I'm just saying the next one, it's one of those three guys probably.
Gibbs and Amon-Ra are drippy, my guy.
Amon-Ra, I'll say that.
Okay.
He's got aura.
Okay. 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 So to move on, the next one is your favorite Lions podcast that isn't ours. And this is hard, man, because honestly, we're trying to bring people here. So it's hard to give a shout out to other places, but
I could straight up give a non shout out. I could
don't do it.
Someone
don't do it.
If I want.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. We're going to have the owner texting us with zero periods or commas.
No, I wasn't talking about that one.
Okay. I thought you were talking Woodward.
No. I don't mind Woodward. I think they got a nut job running it. But
oh, you're talking about the burn victim.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Honolulu Blues. I followed them at the beginning, and it was pretty good, newsworthy. As of late, it's just been really weird content.
All right, so let's digress. Let's go into what we like. I agree with you there. Let's digress. My favorite, honestly, has always been Pride of Detroit. I really like the POD podcast. I've always been a fan of them. My wife literally bought me beef jerky that they advertise at Christmas because I like Pride of Detroit so much. So I really like them.
To be honest, I don't really listen to a lot of Lions-based podcasts. I mean, sometimes I'll listen to like general.
That's good for you to
sports news.
That's good for you though to like form your own opinion too. I find that if I listen to too many, that it's hard to form your own opinion sometimes.
I follow a lot of Lions news on Twitter, and I follow like podcast accounts, and I follow the news they post. I don't necessarily listen to their podcast all the time, but I guess if I had to go sports-related podcasts, though, I do listen to New Heights sometimes with, you know, I shouted them out before, but Travis and Jason Kelce is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Zach's going to hate me for this one, and it was a podcast before it evolved into what it is now, but I do love me some Pat McAfee.
Oh my gosh, man, dude, I can't stand Pat McAfee. Oh, I would say right now, the one that I'm listening to that's not only Lions based, or not technically listened to right now because they're on break, but the St. Brown Brothers is a pretty good one. They're a little dry.
Oh yeah, about the 33rd team.
Yeah, they're a little dry. The stuff that they have on there sometimes is slow moving, but it's two brothers, and like, that kind of matches what we're doing here. So
another
I
one,
like it.
Another one that's, you know, maybe doesn't get as much attention yet because he branched off of Woodward, but Jeff's podcast, what's that one called?
You're going to call me out. Crunch Time.
Yeah. Jeff, is it Lafrady?
Yefrady? Yep.
I like him. I like his podcast. I also,
I should have thrown that one out there.
What is it, Booner? Is that his,
I can't. Is that his? I love Booner. It's dude, Booner, man. If you hear this, man, your laugh gets me every time, my guy. It gets me every time. It's funny.
They've got a good one going, and that's Upstart. Kind of started almost the same time that we did, actually. But
yeah, and they had some different upbringings.
Much bigger following than we did.
That, and they also had some different things to deal with. So yeah, I'm really glad that they got through their adversity. I will always be a big fan of Jeff because he has good content and he has a good head on his shoulders. He got out of something really bad when he could, and he did really good. So.
All right, let's finish up with Michael Lucci's here from Roar Roundup. His last question was, your favorite Lions beat reporter?
All right, so I think right now, let's hear yours first. Let's hear yours first.
I really like Mike Payton.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. That's my favorite one right now.
He's up there, and I think another one is, oh, man.
I like Mike Payton's takes.
Butcher his last name. Kyle Meinke? I don't know if that's how you say it. I think he's M Live, maybe. I can't remember.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I have heard of him. I also like Tim Twentyman. I really like him too. And then I got a quick story.
Oh, he's an actual, like, he works for the organization.
All right, I got a quick story. Another shout out that I like is Justin Rogers. I've been a fan of Justin Rogers since he was at M Live. Justin, dude, if you're hearing this, I'm really sorry because I was the guy that was, I had the name Call Me Crazy on your M Live stuff all the time in 2013. And I always caused so much controversy with non-Lions related stuff in your chats that I feel really bad. But I follow you because of it, because I feel bad for that. So,
oh, Justin Rogers is a good one. I think Dave Burkett. Dave Burkett. Posts a lot of good stuff. I just him and Kyle Meinke, the guy I just talked about. The problem with that is they're behind a paywall, so I don't really read their stuff
because I'm not going to pay the for first it. Part of it. And that's
it's M Live in Detroit. Free Press, I believe, is where they work out of.
Yeah, Free Press kind of always been like that. M Live got worse and worse. So
yeah, I'm not really about the paywall. That's why I like Mike Payton. He posts good stuff and it's all free
for sure. All right, so that's what we got from Mike from Roar Roundup. Mike, thank you so much for that. We really appreciate that. That was really fun. And the next mailbag, we're going to expect the same from you. So our next one is from at Carson Hero. And he asked, can we start pushing for a no mock March? He said it might make all of the mocks we are forced to see in April more bearable. What do you think about that?
I don't know, Carson, man. You got.
I love it. I think it's hilarious.
You hate mocks so much, man. That's how us Lions fans used to live back.
That's what keeps us
the team.
Yeah, just the dreaming, man. We're just dreaming.
Prior to this year, that's what kept me going for most of the season.
There's always next season, guys. So we'll start doing our mocks in February, January, whatever it is.
If this was the same old Lions, I'd be running mock drafts for like the class of 2027 at this point.
That was just a funny one, obviously kind of a troll one. I love it. Good job, Carson. That's a good one. No, we cannot start no mock March because we've done like three of them already and we have our third one here in a little bit. So
maybe next year, buddy.
Thanks for the input though, for sure. All right. At Mr. Ed 315. This one we laughed about yesterday when it came through, besides making god awful questionable picks, what else could take the Lions draft off the rails? I love the wording there.
I read this one so wrong. I thought he was saying that like Brad Holmes is notorious for god-awful questionable picks. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Right.
But I get what you're saying. What else could take the Lions draft off the rails would be...
a kicker in the fifth.
Brad Holmes dying? I don't know. Like... honestly, I think as long as Brad Holmes is at the wheel, I don't think anything can make this thing derail.
I don't think so either. I'm going to be mad if we do like guard and then center, I guess, first and second round or something.
Happen,
yeah. I know. I'm just, he's asking, I'm saying that's what would upset me. Yeah. If we take a kicker in the fifth, I'd be mad.
That wouldn't make me mad. Questionable picks would make me mad. Like you said, questionable picks. Like,
I guess that really is what I just said. So
yeah, like if you're taking, after we just went running back and linebacker in the first round, if you take another one of those and it's not like a throw them in at the end of the draft kind of guy.
Right. Get Frank Gore.
Okay. like I don't mind picking up a linebacker in the middle rounds if you want to do that, but like you need to get the positions of need. Don't
yeah.
don't just go BPA all the time.
I agree, actually. Yeah, that is a good point. I would say what would put this make this go off the rails for me is if we did BPA, like a true BPA, in those first three picks, because I feel like there are needs regardless of the smoke and mirrors or whatever, you know, Dan and Brad are saying. There are needs on this team and we can fill them with this draft. The depth in which the positions we need are, this is the draft to do it. We're set up in the spot we need, I think. So, all right. And then we have a couple anonymous ones. And by anonymous, I mean, I had some guys at work that were just talking and I just took these questions from them. So, one of the questions is, who do you think will be the biggest breakout player this year for the Lions? Some already showed glimpses this last year, but who do you think will take the largest step this year? One on offense and one on defense. I know that's a tough question. We talked for like 20 minutes, not getting any work done.
Here's the thing. I already know two people I want to take on the offense, but it's like, which one is going to have the bigger jump?
Okay.
And, gosh dang. I want to say, My two people that I'm fighting between are Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta.
Sam Laporta makes another jump, I'm giving him a gold jacket.
I'm saying right now, I think it's going to be Sam Laporta, because what I'm looking at is a team that we already know what they're going to do with the Montgomery-Gibbs rotation. I wouldn't expect that to change too much, maybe a little bit more feeding into Gibbs because of what we saw him develop into over the second half of last year.
Mm-hmm.
But Sam Laporta, you look at it, he's really not got much competition at tight end. He's going to be the guy. And I think the departure of Josh Reynolds only is going to help him, because now he's going to be the reliable big body guy over the middle.
Yeah, he's going to get a lot more of those.
He's going to get a lot more of those
post routes. Yep, slant.
At the sticks.
Yep.
You know, they're going to target him a lot.
Don't underestimate Amon-Ra there, though, too. Just saying.
Oh, no. I know what Amon-Ra can do on third downs. We know that.
I'm telling you right now, either one of those guys, I'll do my offense, too, here. Either one of those guys I'd be stoked with. Mine is a hopeful one. I got J-Mo, because we need J-Mo.
One. I didn't even think about him.
We need J-Mo. We need J-Mo to step up this year. I think he can do it. Will he do it? I don't know. But we need him to step up this year.
I'm going to say this right now. If he doesn't step up this year, he's getting traded.
I don't know that he has trade value.
He'll have a year left on his contract, though, and he's speedy, and he can do.
That's true. Someone can turn him into a quarter.
I'm not saying
Patterson.
We're not getting the return back on him that we spent, but he'll go for like a mid-round pick or something.
Well, somebody will turn him into a Cordero Patterson or however you say his first name. But mine's J-Mo on offense, point blank, period, only because we need it. We need him to be a wide receiver, too. He has to. We need it. Okay, defense. You want me to go first?
No, I'm trying. I'm like fighting because there's so many guys that showed glimpses but didn't take the step that we were expecting.
My guy,
I'm
going to
go a little
you.
Bit under the radar here.
Okay,
I'm
maybe
gonna,
not.
I'm going to take Josh Pascal.
Okay, yeah, that is under the radar. That's farther under the radar than I went.
Because I think, well, I just think Josh Pascal is so versatile, and we saw him last year have games where I think he had a multi-sack game. He's sneaky. People don't pay attention to him. If you can get another guy in the middle that can take attention away, he's going to be in a lot more, you know,
mm-hmm.
single man-to-man blocking assignments there. And I think he could make an impact. It might not be like, he's not going to be like a star, but he could be one of those, you know, reliable guys like a Danico Autry or somebody like that.
Okay. Nice. I didn't have him on my radar, so you are right, under the radar. That's a good one for real. Mine is one of the guys that showed glimpses, and this is the guy that I said when I was talking to my work guys, Fitu Melifanu. I think number six needs to have the biggest step this year, and I think he will have the biggest jump. Honestly, he's going to have one of the bigger opportunities to have a jump because of the position he's in this year. So
I think that's an exciting thing for me to think about, is I had way more players on the defensive side of the ball that I thought could make a significant jump than on the offense.
Are those hopefuls or ones you think will?
there's just questioning. A mix of both. But okay. I think that's something we haven't had on the defensive side in a while. We've had veterans that we thought were got sure things that we signed in free agency that mm-hmm. just didn't pan out. Trey yeah. Flowers.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm just thinking, like, I could have gone Josh Pascal. I could have gone James Houston. I could have gone Jack Campbell. I could have gone...
Aleem could still make a jump.
Curb, iffy. I could have gone... Yeah, Aleem is still capable of making a jump. There's just so
DJ
much...
DJ Reader could make a jump for us. I mean, really.
Yeah. He's more of that established veteran presence.
I know, but he could still jump.
I don't think there's much jump that he's...
You never know, though. You get players in there, and they get a second wind, and they look like brand new... You know, third-year players. So
he's like 300 some pounds. How high do you think he's gonna jump?
Dude, if he gets an inch, it's gonna feel like 3 feet.
Speaking of jumps, I want to just throw this.
Dude,
there.
I know.
Did anybody see?
I know the 44-inch.
Yeah,
vertical?
there was a DB from I don't know what school, smaller school.
Dude,
recorded a 44-inch vert.
Dude, holy smokes! I saw that. I he's still in the air somewhere, guys.
Yeah.
Oh my.
If you
gosh.
Have a chance, just go look it up. Go look I don't know if it was a pro day or what, but go look and just type in, you know, 44-inch vertical football player, college football,
dude,
or whatever.
Dude, I saw that. That was awesome. Okay. So that wraps up our mailbag. Our first
We got one more.
Oh, we
you
do.
Said you had one more anonymous. It's who or what group is the blame for the Lions' struggles on defense?
Sorry, I wanted to skip this one because I don't want to talk about it.
We just talked about the potential of defense. I guess we're going to go in the other direction.
Yeah. I got you. I think this was like a repressed kind of memory here. So, all right, what do you think?
The easy way out is to say Aaron Glenn.
Yep, that's what everybody's saying.
I just don't know if
that's what the guy who posted this question said.
I think there's two areas to blame, and the first is anyone not named Aiden Hutchinson on the defensive line, and maybe Aleem McNeil too, because he showed up in certain games. But I think that's the first place, because that helped toast our secondary. And to no surprise, the next part is going to be the secondary, and specific the outside corners.
Okay, so two things I want to bring up. Two things that this person that posed this question said. First of all, blamed Aaron Glenn. Second thing he blamed was a midseason lack of trading by Brad Holmes for the defensive line. Those are the two easy, simple ones, like you're saying. Those are the easy ones to blame. I don't disagree 100%, though. I'll be honest. I don't disagree 100%. I'm glad we didn't end up making that trade. But if we're passing blame on how we could have got better, there's a little bit there. There's a little bit.
The only thing I'm thinking of, the only way we would have gotten better on that defensive line really was Montez Sweat.
Yeah, and I really don't want to carry his contract.
I was so high on getting Chase Young, and now looking at what he did with the Niners and
Brad Holmes knows things.
The offseason now where he's dealing with an injury.
Brad Holmes
knows
things.
I'm so glad we didn't end up with that contract.
I don't, they joke around about the Simpsons show having like time machines, the writers having time machines and stuff. I feel like Brad Holmes might have like a 6 month time machine.
I think honestly, what I think is Brad Holmes is just so well connected in the league that I'm sure he had somebody in that Washington front office,
probably,
or someone he knew who said,
"Don't do it.
Don't do it."
Yeah, yep.
It's not worth it. If you're gonna get a guy, get Montez, and at that point he was already closing in with the Bears. So
mine, and I died on this hill because I never won this battle. Mine's the defensive line. That's who to blame. Okay. Not Aiden Hutchinson, like you said. Everybody but Aiden Hutchinson.
And Aleem at times.
But the hill that I actually died on here was blaming the injuries on the offensive line, not the players themselves.
Defensive line, not offensive.
Okay. Well, defensive line. I blame the offensive line for why our defense sucks so bad. Okay. Dang it. They really sucked on
defense. They really beat them up in practice, made them really tired.
They sucked on defense, I swear. Okay, but seriously, injuries to me are what caused the problems we had from the start. Whether it was secondary, whether it was defensive line, if you have the core guys that we have and they're all 100% healthy, I think we win in Seattle. I think we at least put up a little bit more of a fight against Baltimore. Don't say we win that game, because there's no way we won that game. We couldn't have done anything to win that game. I think we would have made it closer if we had healthy guys. Go to the Bears. I think those games were complete blowouts by the Lions if we had a healthy defense. That's including Gardner Johnson. You know, I just think that things would have changed. And we can sit here and do what ifs all day, but that's what this question is. But if I'm blaming one side or one spot, it's the defensive line. So
fair. I mean, that's kind of what I said too, but I added another group, but we're good.
Okay.
Next up, we are going to
fly through.
Much to the dismay of Carson Hiro or Hero, we are going to talk about our mock drafts here.
Dude, man, you got yourself two shout outs in one show, my guy. That's awesome.
We were actually supposed to run two mock drafts each last week, and obviously our podcast got deleted, so that didn't happen. So we are going to fly, and I mean fly through these. We are not going to do the whole breakdown. We're just going to say who we pick. Maybe we'll outline one or two favorites.
Jameson Williams speed fly. Guys, here goes. You go ahead first.
Jameson Williams with a McDonald's burger and an Oreo flurry on top. We're flying.
Jameson Williams with a McDonald's burger looking for a McDonald's ice cream machine that works kind of fly.
Okay. So I'll just fly through
happy
my
birthday, J-Mo.
You want me
way.
To fly through my first and then you fly through your first?
Yeah. Yep. We'll just go
do
back
you have
and
both
forth.
Of yours ready to go?
I only did one. So you go ahead if you got two. That's fine.
Okay. That's fine. So essentially what we did last week was we were going to do a mock draft that we think the Lions are going to do realistically, and another mock draft on what we want them to do. Not necessarily realistic, because they probably won't do everything we want them to do. My first one is the one the Lions should do. I have them at round 129, picking Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Bama. Round 2, pick 61, picking Johnny Wilson out of Florida State, wide receiver. Round 3, pick 73, safety Cam Kitchens out of Miami. Round 5, pick 164, Trevor Keegan, guard out of Michigan. Round 6, pick 201, Steel Chambers, linebacker out of OSU. Round 7, pick 249, Will Reichard, kicker, Alabama.
Okay, so that was the one that you think they'll do or you want them to
realistically, do? Realistically, they
will do. Okay, so I'm going to be honest with you guys. I changed mine because we had an extra week here.
Cheater, cheater, cheater.
Yes, I did. I cheated. I'll be honest. I cheated here because we had an extra week. This is not what I had last week, but this is what I think they will do based on what happened the last 2 weeks, essentially. First round, wide receiver out of Texas, Adonai Mitchell. Second round, edge rush, Marshawn Kneeland. Third round, guard, Mason McCormick. I'm not saying where they're from, but that's fine. I've talked about these guys before. Round 5, Drake Nugent, center. Round 6, I got Johnny Dixon, cornerback. Round 6, second pick, I've got Omar Brown, safety. And then the last pick, I got kicker Will Reichard in the 7th. The one person that I want to highlight that I changed, this was the main change that I made. Omar Brown.
I just saw some stuff about him.
Listen, everybody's getting on people who are mocking a safety to the Lions. Omar Brown came in 2018 or 2019 as the state of Minnesota's number one rated cornerback. And now he plays safety. Let's go get him. If he's available in the 6th round, go get him. I think they should. Yeah, all I'll say.
I've been seeing a lot of stuff about him recently and acts about just how good of a player he is. Mm-hmm. But my second one, and I think Zach's done. He doesn't have a second one, or do you?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Yep. I pulled it up. So what we want to see now.
So based on what we want to see, I want to see, especially, and this rings even more true now that we know that Brad Holmes isn't really necessarily desperate for a corner.
Yeah, and just so you guys know, this includes like our draft crushes.
Yeah. So round 1, pick 29. I really want Chop Robinson out of Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
I really want Chop Robinson.
That'd be a solid pick.
I just watched some pass rushing tape on him, and his bend and just speed is ridiculous.
Okay.
Round 2, pick 61, Devontae Walker, wide receiver out of North Carolina. Round 3, pick 73, Chris Abrams Drain out of Mizzou. Round 5, pick 164, safety Bo Braid out of Maryland. Round 6, pick 201, Hunter Norzad, center out of Penn State. Round 6, pick 205, Jalen Ford, linebacker out of Texas. Round 7, pick 249, J.J. Weaver, edge from Kentucky.
Okay. I think a lot of those guys are guys that I've seen in mocks, so that's good. So what I had was I actually made a trade, and the reason I made this trade last week was because if I go back, I remember the owner of the Arizona Cardinals basically saying that he had a for sale sign or an open sign or something beaming above his head and the lights so bright. So he's ready to trade. He wants to trade. So what I did was I gave them our round one pick 29, Philadelphia's round four pick for next year that we own, and then our round seven next year. And we ended up with their second round 35 and their third round 90 this year. So is it realistic? It's PFF. I don't know, but this is what I got. So one of those draft crushes right here in the second round at pick 35 is cornerback TJ Tampa. And nobody knew who he was until I said his name 7,000 times. I'm just kidding. Everybody knew who he was. I'm joking. But I've said it enough to where if he was Beetlejuice, he'd be in the basement right now. That's weird.
If he was Beetlejuice, we'd already be on the fourth movie.
There'd be like 700 of them in the basement. All right. And then I also picked Marshawn Kneeland in the one that I want to see because he's on tape. He looks awesome. That's at round 261. Round 373, I have Johnny Wilson. Again, I said he looks like Calvin Johnson in pads. He is not Calvin Johnson, will never be Calvin Johnson, but he looks like him in pads, and I just like that. Let's see, round 390, I still had guard Mason McCormick. Just want to say that guy's calling out. He's doing what the center usually does. He's calling out pass rushes and all that stuff as a guard in college. So that's impressive. And that's the kind of guy that we could possibly move to center. Then I got James Williams, as a safety. And that's the guy that I want to do kind of like the nickel. I want him to be kind of like slotted in as the nickel there. Round 6, 201, I have center Hunter Norzad.
Yep. That's who I picked you.
Round 6, 205, I had Johnny Dixon again. And then round 7, 249, I had Will Reichard. So a lot of those kind of match with what I think they'll do, too.
I don't know whose butt at PFF you're kissing to get B and B-plus grades on your draft because they hate when I pick.
I'm not kissing butt. I just am smarter than you.
Yeah, sure you are.
So that's what we had for a Mach 3 and 3.1. Sorry you guys missed it last week, but we made it right. We had a lot more in-depth stuff, but Mr. Hero will be super happy that we flew through those like that. And the next one we do will be in April. So Mr. Hero will be even more happy because it won't be March anymore. So let's move on to our next segment here, our last segment. And that was random. The question I have for you, in the entire NFL, who do you think will thrive this year because of this offseason? So it can be a player who's, you know, going to a new team, someone who stayed on a team, but, you know, stepping up into a bigger role because somebody else left, or they got somebody, you know, they pulled somebody in as a free agent. Who do you think is that guy that's going to, you know, benefit the most in the NFL this year?
I'm going to say Kyren Williams.
Really?
I think Kyren Williams showed how good he can be last year, and that was with a battered offensive line. And, you know, you had Kevin Dotson already, and that right side was really solid with Kevin Dotson and I'm losing his last name. Their right tackle, though. I can't think of it right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, Rob Havenstein. That's what it is. They have those two. They moved one of their guards over to center where he's going to be probably a good stalwart there. And then they picked up Jonah Jackson from us.
Yep. They got really good on the that, line.
Everywhere except the left tackle is stout. They are going to open massive holes for that man to run through. And he already had a monster year, only playing partially this year because he was like in a rotation and injured sometimes, I think. But he's going to have a massive, massive season, I think.
Okay. Mine's Drake London, because he's finally got a quarterback that's competent and can throw him the ball. And Drake London, as an athlete, is a scary specimen. I think he's going to step up and have a monster year. I'll be honest with you. Please don't do this. Don't take him out from under me. But he's going to my team again this year for fantasy, because he's going to have a monster year.
What pick were you thinking you're going to take him at so I can snake him?
Second overall, just like last year. No, I didn't take him second overall last year. I took Ja'Marr Chase.
Did you take him second? Who had the first? She had Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, my daughter took first overall pick. That was sickening.
And I had the third pick, and I was kind of disappointed. I got the consolation prize of Christian McCaffrey, and look how that turned out for me.
Yeah, well, you finished one spot above me, I think, didn't you?
I finished in second place.
You finished two spots above me. Whatever. All right, so that wraps up our show this week. We're going to save this 10,000 times so that we can ensure that we get it out to you guys.
We will not be having a podcast next week. Zach is taking his victory lap around his Super Bowl win, and he's going to Disney.
Yep, I'm going to Disney.
So, you know, he'll probably have the whole, family, and they'll do a promo video of them standing in front of the castle and
yeah,
flexing his ring pops instead of
Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure that for ring pops, I'm pretty sure that trip gets paid for by Disney. So if that's the case, I'm excited, because the money I spent is not, I'd rather have it paid for. But anyway, it's possible that by the time we come back next, in 2 weeks, we will have video for you guys, and we'll be doing this, live. It's also very possible that I'll be wearing Mickey ears for it. So you definitely want to come back and check that out. Brendan's also working on some really cool things for our TikTok, and he's going to have those up sometime soon. He's obviously busy with work and stuff, but I know you're going to get that up pretty quick. So make sure you guys follow us on X. Make sure you guys look for us on YouTube. We're posting a couple of intro videos and stuff there. We've opened a Patreon, and we'll have some stuff opening up there too for subscribers and stuff. We're going to have some giveaways. We're going to do some live events and stuff like that. So definitely check us out anywhere you get your podcast. Make sure you listen up every week. Not next week though. And we'll see you again. What is it? Second week of April. We'll be back.
Yep.
And then, and then we're getting into draft. So we're getting really close. We'll probably do one more mock draft just before the draft. And we'll have plenty to talk about, because we're going to have 2 weeks in between.
And we'll do another mock draft after the draft.
Wait, what? Who do you think the Lions should have drafted?
No, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be mock draft season into schedule prediction season.
Yep, we're going to do that. Yep, that will be a show. And then we're also going to, just so you guys know, any of you guys that do fantasy football, we'll have a couple of fantasy football, mock draft fantasy football. We'll do things. We'll kind of give you our opinions on who we think, you know, should go in certain places as far as the mock drafts or as far as the fantasy football. Definitely some good stuff. OTAs will come, preseason will come. It's all getting here real quick. So before you know it, we'll be playing football again. So for now, until 2 weeks from now, what do you have to say, Brendan?
Go Lions.
Go Lions, baby.